You know, for me, it's always good when the cards fall where they do, and I end up having a chat with Dennis Stewart. We'll do an hour of Health Naturally, mate. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Mark. It's very good to be with you again.
Oh, don't sound so happy. It is really good. Look, Dennis, there's some calls coming in, so I'll be kind of brief here, okay. But I know in the past you've spoken a lot about ginkgo.
Yes.
In terms of a potential anti-aging tonic
sure,
there.
Sure, sure.
And also a whole lot of other benefits as well, which you'll get into today.
Yes, look, I'm going to take that up. First up, a very, very important herb, which I frequently mention, but I want to top it off today by explaining to listeners things they never knew about it.
Health Naturally with Dennis Stewart. Dennison, are you ready to get into those calls, mate? Yes.
We are indeed.
All right. Let's do that. G'day, Robert at Gorrican. You're with Dennis right now. Robert, what's happening?
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I had cellulitis in my legs and they've gone down now.
Yes, good.
One is still keeps coming up.
Yes.
And it feels like crocodile skin. And
yes, okay.
And coming into it.
Was this the first episode you've had of cellulitis, Robert?
No, I had it a few years ago.
Okay. Look, for the sake of listeners, I'll just mention in simple language what we're looking at. We're looking at a swelling of the legs, which can also then become very likely to become infected. And this is where it can be quite nasty and serious. You would have been treated with antibiotics, were you, Robert?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Look, in my opinion, you can do a few things here that might lessen the likelihood of this cellulitis tendency taking off again. Now, I've been able to help quite a few people with this recommendation over the years. It's very inexpensive and is something that you can initiate yourself and monitor it yourself. The first thing that I would suggest you do is take on board the importance of improving the peripheral circulation, that is, encouraging better and more efficient blood flow, particularly to the extremities. That is, I believe that is a very strong thing to do when you are plagued with this problem of swelling, blockage and infection. Part of my suggestion is that you take on board the mention that I've made over the weeks on the herb ginkgo biloba.
Now,
ginkgo biloba is one of the most well-known modern herbs used to address severe circulatory distress to the extremities. It's even used to treat what's called intermittent claudication. That is where there's a significant blockage of blood flow to the extremities. I would be suggesting that you start thinking seriously about going on to ginkgo biloba as a regular or as a regularly taken supplement. I'd also suggest that what you do is begin to use the bioflavonoid that I've spoken about called rutin, R-U-T-I-N. Rutin is famous for its ability to support circulatory activity, even where there is a significant tendency for circulatory distress. It again is a very inexpensive supplement and would work well with the ginkgo. I'd also suggest in your case that you begin to take ongoingly a significant dosage of vitamin C. I would be suggesting something like 500 milligrams of vitamin C as a means of improving your overall resistance to the onset of infection. But with the vitamin C, you should consider taking the herb Echinacea, E-C-H-I-N-A-C-E-A. Echinacea, an American herb, probably the most famous of American herbs, which has some significant ability to address infection and has always been a component of my treatment for cellulitis. Vitamin C, Echinacea, ongoingly as supplements to lessen the likelihood of infection, and the consideration for the ginkgo and the bioflavonoid rutin to assist in circulation. Now, they are things that you can procure from your pharmacist or your good health food store, and I would suggest you think about going onto those at a low dose, staying on them, accelerating the dose if and when you become aware of the condition asserting itself.
Best of luck with everything there, Robert, as we move on to Hilton at Charlestown. You have a question or something to say about Rose here, Hilton?
Yeah, hi, Dennis. How are you going?
I'm very well, Hilton. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
Good, good.
Yeah, I just started taking this Rose Hip Vital.
Oh, yes.
For my knee.
Yes.
My left knee is shot. And it says to take 5 capsules twice daily. So 10 capsules a day.
Rose Hip is obviously a botanical product. It's the hip of the rose, if you like, rose hip. It's renowned for its vitamin C content, but it would also have a significant level of what we call bioflavonoids in it.
Oh yeah.
Now bioflavonoids are in many herbs, many fruits, many vegetables, very harmless things, and they have an ability to reduce inflammation, ability to encourage blood flow, and there has been some significant documentation suggesting that the claims of rose hip to address degenerative and inflammatory conditions of the joints is valid. It's not something that I use a lot of, but there is a literature base there that would give some credibility to it, and that product, I suspect, is a good representative of it. Offhand, I haven't got information in front of me here in the studio that would recommend or support a clinical dosage of the preparation. By virtue of being a bioflavonoid, I can't see any reason how it could hurt you, but most of these things, the bioflavonoids included, would have a recommendation as to a minimum dose. Do they say how on this preparation the milligram dose of each capsule?
2.5 milligrams.
2.5.
Is that right?
2.5 milligrams or 2.5 grams?
Oh, geez,
I guess I'm saying, look, if you ring me at my rooms, I'll be able to give you information of more of authoritative nature, but let me just assure you that bioflavonoids are safe, rose hip is safe, it has a reasonable reputation of benefit, the product you mentioned is a good product, and they wouldn't mention that dosage unless it has some credibility associated with it.
And we're going to have another try with this one. Anne at Rutherford, you're on with Dennis now. What would you like to have a chat about, Anne?
Rosacea. It's a rash on my husband's cheeks. I was just wanting to find out what we can do about poor look.
Okay. Tell me about your husband's history, Anne, as he had rosacea very, very long.
About probably 6 months.
6 months. It came on suddenly?
No, it just came over, it just slowly come on. We thought it was just a rash of some sort, and then all of a sudden it turned into that, yes.
Now, is it around his nose or on his cheeks?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Is it pustular?
Sorry?
Is it pustular? By that I mean, does it come up in little pustules, pimples?
Yes, but not ones that you can bust, you know, like their own, just like red knobs.
Yeah, okay. Now, your GP has investigated it, has he, and treated it?
He said there was nothing he could do for it.
Okay. Look, I'll make mention of a few things here that are safe and have helped some of my patients. Rosacea, for the sake of listeners, is usually restricted to the face. It's like a red rash, and sometimes it can become pustular. That is, it can develop pustules that on the face and can also implicate the nose. My approach is to use herbs that, in an older system of medicine, and that includes my system of medicine, a bracket of herbs that were known as blood purifiers. Now, mainstream medicine would raise their eyebrows when that statement is made, but what it means is that there are a bracket of herbs that were famous for treating skin conditions of an inflammatory and sometimes infected nature, where it was interpreted by older herbalists that this said something about what was happening internally, i.e. in their mind, with the blood. And it's not a bad concept to think about. So I would treat this condition with the same sorts of herbs that I would use for anything like, boils or pustules occurring anywhere else on the body. So therefore, I would necessarily use the American herb known as echinacea, and I would necessarily use the European herb called calendula, and I would use a herb called burdock, which is a European herb, and I would have them combined by a compounding pharmacist or a medical herbalist who has a dispensary. I would have them combined in a liquid form and would establish a dose for them to be taken orally. In other words, I would treat this along the lines of trying to use the old term language of cleaning the blood. Now, again...
What was that second one? I wrote down echinacea and burdock. What was the other one?
Calendula or marigold.
Marigold.
Now, those three herbs fit the category, which these days is not used so much by herbalists, but I have no trouble using the older language because it conveys the idea of using herbs to treat conditions of a pustular and inflammatory nature via oral medication, which does affect the ability of the body to address infections and inflammation. Those three herbs would be a good starting base, in my opinion. I've not seen your husband, so anything I say would have to be supported or confirmed when you had it made up. If you can't get it made up, of course, we can help you. Yep. Now, the other thing is, you would have heard me talk about so-called bioflavonoids. Bioflavonoids are significant in their ability to reduce inflammation. I use them a lot in eczema and dermatitis. So the bioflavonoid known as quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N, quercetin, and it's combined with another substance called bromelain, which is a pineapple enzyme. In combined in a capsule, they are a remarkable agent in addressing inflammatory conditions where there's also the possibility of infection. They're very, very safe. I would see those as a nutritional support for the herbal procedure. And for years, I had a receptionist at my Rawoonga practice in Redleaf Avenue in the 80s, and she controlled her rosacea with a cream known as the GA cream. Now, the GA cream has an extract of licorice in it. I had it formulated in Australia. It was very popular in dermatology before the war. It's based on an extract of licorice, even though it looks white, and it has significant anti-inflammatory characteristics, and she used it, my dear receptionist then, to address rosacea and managed it very effectively just with the so-called GA cream.
So the you know how you mentioned about the echinacea and all that?
Yes.
My husband has sinus problems as well.
You get a benefit from that. You'd definitely get a benefit from that.
And we'll have to start charging you. That's two for the price of one. Tell you what, Dennis, if there's any flies on air and they're paying rent. Good on you. Thanks for that. And g'day, Ken from Thornton. You have a issue with osteoarthritis. What's happening, Ken?
Hi, Dennis, and thanks for taking my call.
It's a pleasure.
I've recently been diagnosed with osteoarthritis in my right hip.
Yes.
I'm under a physiotherapist who's given me exercise programs, etc.
Good.
And I'm currently very rarely taking any form of painkiller.
Yes.
But my doctor mentioned that the process would involve anti-inflammatories, cortisone injections, et cetera, to the point where at the end I may need a hip replacement. So I was wondering if you could suggest anything that might assist me before I get to those levels of things.
Are you in much pain, Ken?
From time to time.
Okay.
I have my good days and my bad days. Today is a good day. I've not needed to take any medication at all. Okay. I did my exercises, the program this morning without any issues. I get on the exercise bike for 20 minutes and that doesn't cause me any difficulties either. So I just didn't know whether or not there was something that might, herbal-wise, that might assist.
Well, I would suggest, and I'm sure your good GP would not object to this, I would suggest that you try products based on glucosamine and chondroitin. They're known under various names. Glucosaplex is one of their names. Now, the glucosamine-based products are well-known in the industry, in complementary medicine and also in mainstream medicine to a degree, as being useful to limit the inflammatory activity and to perhaps promote some stabilisation of the degeneration. So if you're not using glucosamine and chondroitin, I think you could be missing out on something. Interestingly, the use of the New Zealand green lip mussel was made famous in Britain when it was so successful in assisting the rehabilitation of a completely ankylosed hip joint that a paper was written up in the in the Lancet, the British Medical Journal, and I have a copy of it, supporting the remarkable improvement in using the New Zealand green lip mussel. So I guess what I'm saying is if you haven't used the glucosamine and chondroitin approach, you could be missing out on something. And if you're not using the green lip mussel, you could be missing out on something. I would be seeing those as useful. As far as managing the pain, you're probably, using Panadol Osteo, are you?
Correct. Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Look, that's not a bad preparation. I support that. If that is giving you adequate pain relief, that's good. I would concentrate, therefore, on the glucosamine chondroitin plus the New Zealand green lip mussel.
Wonderful. Well, that's what my wife's been telling me.
Well, you should listen to your wife, Ken. I've learned that years ago.
She's a firm believer in dietary supplements, and she tastes glucosamine on a regular basis. So yeah. I'll just have to raid her jar, eh?
Well, remember, it's got to have chondroitin with it. The two go together.
Okay.
And again, please don't overlook the New Zealand green lip mussel.
All right, best of luck with everything, Ken. And I'd say, Dennis, particularly now having to go and say to the wife, you're right.
Oh, I learned that years ago.
You're right. You're on track. Excellent.
Absolutely.
Good afternoon, Bill at Shortland. What's happening with you, Bill?
Good afternoon, Mark. I have a inclusive body myostosis, which is my immune system is fighting my muscle tissues.
You had an autoimmune condition, Bill.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm getting a plasma infusion for it.
Yes.
But it's caused, I have arthritis throughout my body.
Of course.
And now I notice my left knee is just bone on bone.
Yes.
But it's carrying a lot of fluid.
Yes.
Is there something I can take to perhaps reduce the fluid? I notice it's in my neck and my face and everywhere.
Well, the fluid is probably, I'd say probably a byproduct of the inflammatory activity that's going on in your body.
Yes.
You'd be on immunosuppressant medication.
I'm on the I'm on prednisone, the steroid.
Yes. Yes.
But I'm getting a immunoglobulin.
Yes.
Infusion.
Yes. Look, Bill. This is a condition that obviously is a very specialised treatment requirement. I don't think it would be wise for me to recommend things while you're having this sort of medication on the off chance,
right.
On the off chance that it might contraindicate or conflict with the treatment you're receiving. There are a couple of things that come into my mind, but on reflection, I think it would be unwise for you to do other than what your good medicos are doing for you with this rather complex condition, Bill.
Right. I was just listening to the chat before with the arthritis.
Yes.
My muscle condition is bad in my right leg.
Yes.
Which has caused my left knee to be full of arthritis and bone on bone.
Yes.
And that's where I get the fluid. Okay. There's nothing like taking the tablets for the herbal tablets for the arthritis wouldn't help with the fluid. Or
what I would suggest is run that past your managers. Those things I've mentioned are very safe under normal circumstances, and they may have some ability to ease some of the symptoms that are coming from the inflammatory activity around your joint. And I stand by the substances that I've mentioned, the New Zealand green lip mussel, glucosamine and chondroitin, and even rose hips, which was previously mentioned. But run that past those that are managing you. It would not be ethical to do anything other than say, listen, I've been talking to Dennis on radio. He mentioned these things. What do you think? Is it worthwhile giving him a go, Doctor?
Okay, best of luck there for you, Bill. Good afternoon, Suzanne from Raymond Terrace. You're with Dennis now, Suzanne.
Hello, thank you.
Hello, Suzanne.
Good day.
How can we help you?
I'm just finishing off my last chemo. I still have the effects from it, and I start immunotherapy in a couple of weeks. For cancer, and I've heard that if you mix marijuana leaves in with a smoothie, that it can help get through it all.
Oh, look, I am a fan of medical marijuana as prescribed by a doctor who is aware of its potential. I would be very reluctant to recommend that you use marijuana in the way that you have spoken about, because that would be quite a different product and quite a different effect, in my opinion, to that which can be derived from a proper preparation based on cannabis that is used a lot, frequently anyway, in treating some conditions. I think that if you're wanting to do anything like that, discuss it with your medical managers, and if they are okay, they may well be able to script you a preparation for it. Please do that rather than use some of the anecdotal way of using this herb. I'm not opposed to this herb. I'm opposed to the non-medical use of it and the dangers associated with the non-medical use.
Thank you so much, Suzanne, and best of luck with everything there. What may be our last call for today? So we head to Carrington and Joan. It's your turn, Joan. What have you got for Dennis today?
Oh, hi there. I just have an irregular ectopic heartbeat.
Yes.
And I was wondering about hawthorn berry for that. Is that would that be indicated to try and normalise it? Because it's driving me mental.
Are you on Sotalol or any medication like that?
Oh, no, I don't take anything. Okay. No, I'm absolutely nothing.
But your doctor is aware of the condition, is he?
Yeah.
Okay, you've had it for a very long period of time.
No, very short.
Oh, okay. And you've,
it's recent.
And you've had it investigated?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. And your doctor doesn't think it warrants medication?
No.
Okay. Well, so long as you are under medical supervision, I think that's fine. But you would know my great enthusiasm for the herb hawthorn berry.
Mm.
I took two of them this morning before I left. not because I have an ectopic heartbeat, but I come from a family line that has cardiovascular problems. So I believe so strongly in it that I take it. Look, the literature does suggest that it has the potential to help the heart and the heart functioning. I'll not say anything further than that because that will be taking it too far. But it's a very safe herb. If your doctor agrees with it, I think there would be some virtue in your taking it.
Okay. Right.
All right, Joan, thank you very much from Carrington. All the best of luck with everything there. Dennis, I think I can actually get myself out of jail here.
How?
I promised that I would try to give you as much time as I could.
Oh,
I've tried and you got about 20 seconds.
Okay.
The ginkgo, literally 20 seconds. I know this will now formulate the topic for next week, but in a nutshell, why is it so great?
Well, it's so great because not only is it used for circulatory problems, but it is used as a general anti-aging remedy. One of the most popular herbal medications in Europe is the ginkgo, where it's used not just to address intermittent claudication and other peripheral conditions, but to address many of the syndromes associated with ageing, memory loss, mood swings, tinnitus, all those sorts of conditions which need to be expanded on. So the sorts of things that afflict us as we get older, and I'm close to 100, the faster we get in that direction, the more ginkgo becomes applicable. Think of the ginkgo as an anti-aging remedy.
All right, Dennis, we'll expand on that in greater detail next week.
We will indeed.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.